Perhaps, brethren, in the third reading, we can get some help from the brethren as far as these godly qualities that were found in Daniel. Just the excellent spirit, faithful, and no fault. It was mentioned in the introduction. Then perhaps we can move forward to the thought of a prayer as we were exhorted and heard from Brother Doug. It wasn't like the Pharisee prayer that everybody look at me. That he was one that will refuse to change the custom that he always approached prayer. And what does it mean to us to be consistent in our prayer life? Because Daniel was one. And the third part of it, maybe we can go to the den of the lions and see how their mouth was shut. Because we have an enemy who goes around as a roaring lion. And this is a most practical lesson as a roaring lion. Maybe lions roared, but more than that they couldn't do because of the God of Daniel. So perhaps we can spend some time on these wonderful qualities that this chapter brings before us of Daniel himself.
I think all of this started with Daniel's personal character that got him into the situation before the king. We see in verse 2 that Daniel was one of the top three men in the Medo-Persian Empire working for the king as a bureaucrat. And it says that these princes or satraps had to render an account to him who should be in all the kingdom, it says, to whom these satraps should render account. In other words, they were answerable to Daniel. And there's no doubt that Daniel probably kept their toes to the fire when it came to graft and corruption and all of this, right? They couldn't slip anything and take away from the king's kingdom. And the king knew about this, right? He knew Daniel's character. That's why he was so sad when he heard got caught in this issue of putting Daniel in the den. So it was his personal qualities, his personal character of honesty and uprightness before God and man, which got him into this place. Notice in verse 13 that his accusers, when they speak of him, they said before the king, "That Daniel." You know that guy? You know that guy, Daniel? The guy, the weird guy? It was really a slight upon Daniel's character. But that tells me also that Daniel had a character. He had a testimony, and an upright testimony, that Daniel. The one everybody talks about, you know, that Daniel. And this, I think, is really the source. Some have suggested verse 13 where they say that Daniel was because he was Jewish, sort of anti-Semitism a bit. It may be, but probably more just his plain character, that Daniel.
But I was wondering also, Brother Brian, in terms of the position that Daniel had at this time, it was not anything here that Daniel aspired to in the sense of, let me make a name for myself. It was a matter of the character that you're speaking of and the impress that was upon him as one who pleased his God, that God would graciously move him through these circumstances where he gets favor from the king, rather than him, as it were, looking for something for himself. So it challenges us as to what kind of character we display today. Do we aspire to be known, to be made much of? Or are we allowing God, by the Spirit of God, through our personal testimony, to give evidence to the world as to how distinctly different we are from them?
Could we also follow up that in verse 4? It says that he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. And if we have that same attitude in our jobs, it is almost inevitable that administration is going to promote us and so on without us seeking it. If we are simply faithful doing our jobs, something similar would happen to us.
I was wondering if the character that Daniel had here, if we don't see them as the same when he was a young man. Because so often we kind of divide Daniel, you know, we say that he was such and such and that he's a young man in the middle age and now as an older man. But I believe that what he was as a young man is what he is as an older man. And so often, you know, we change as we go through. We aspire for certain things as we go through. And so at the end, it is, can't be spoken of very well. But this is not what we see with Daniel. He was whatever he was in an older man, if we go. He was faithful. His heart was towards God. As he went through, those who looked on him, the kings, knew of his character. And so as a young man, what his character was, the king there looked at him as that as well.
And I think also what we need to keep in mind is that the change of administration that have taken place in the chapter. It is no longer now the Babylonian, the head of gold, which characterized the empire of the king himself, whomsoever he would, he slew, and whomsoever he would, he kept alive. It was an absolute dictatorship all the way. That's what characterized that empire. Now you have a different empire, a different administration. Now where the rule of law is the character of the empire. And we need to keep that in mind today, because Babylon might have come to an end in its domination in chapter 5, but Babylon did not end, because you read again about it in the book of Revelation. But what we see here is the idea of the law, the rule of law. And today, there is much, because just like any time, it is the rule of law. And we get sometimes deceived by that, because there was a law that was put on the books. The whole idea is this. We see Satan as a roaring lion, but I still see him there also as a serpent. He sneaked that law in. And we need to keep that in mind, because Christians sometimes get so involved in the law and changing the law and reversing the law. There's only one law that we obey, that is the law of Christ. That's mentioned in Galatians. So let's not get entangled with that. That's, again, the background, the global picture of what's going on where Daniel is. The impressive thing about him, this man, as I said earlier, he ran to empire. Again, the great position. Wherever the Lord have placed us in a secular work, this is a mission field, dear saints of God. And you know what? The good thing about it, they pay you for it. That's where you get in contact with people that usually you don't get in contact with if you're not. So it's an opportunity to witness for God. And throughout the life of Daniel, whether it be Ashpenaz, the prince of the eunuch, whether it be the king of Babylon or anybody else, or now the king of the Mede, his witness for God was the same. His integrity in his function, in his work, in his daily work. Now imagine if they, I'm going to use myself, get the FBI, get the CIA, get the KBG, get the Mossad, what is the British one, the M6? And digging in my files. Digging in my computer. Digging on everything that you have. They did that with Daniel. And they could not find anything. He could not find anything. Not, I'm not talking about the spirituality here. That's just doing his job. Doing his job right. The man didn't take a day sick that he didn't need to take. He didn't sneak out from his work and just took a walk around and claim. He didn't open his Bible and read while he was working. And if his boss yelled at him, he claimed being a martyr because they persecuted him. He did his job. If he was paid for 40 hours or for 24 hours, he worked. That is integrity. That is integrity, and that speaks louder than anything. It's not a matter of devotion to God. It's a matter of integrity in walking before the world in a way that you could not find anything concerning his work. In a time where the law was the dominating factor. And we're going to look at that to see how that even is very dangerous when we get entangled with it.